sing along, coming on. Baby, be my love song. Girl, fast or slow, three-quarter time, it don't have to make sense, and it don't have to rhyme. As long as it's you, babe, I'm all in. And when it's over, just play it again. Baby, be my love song. Baby, be my all night long. Be the buzz in my Dixie cup, my steady rock until the sun comes up. You know I really love to watch you dance. Baby, be my all, hell yeah. Need a little sing along, coming on. Baby, be my love song. Baby, be my melody, my little feel good that gives to me.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Democratic lawmakers now rallying behind President Biden after a closed-door meeting today. Earlier, President Biden made it clear he is not stepping aside due to his concerns about his debate performance. ABC's Selena Wang says it caps more than a week of public and private talks over the president's ability to win re-election.
Not a single Senate Democrat has come out publicly and said that President Biden should end his campaign. You've had a handful of them in the House that have, but on the Senate side, this is just private concerns so far that have been aired. So far, the floodgates have not opened.
President Biden playing host later today at the NATO summit being held in Washington, D.C. Meetings already underway. The White House says the alliance is focused on giving new support to Ukraine. Flooding continues in Texas after Beryl hit as a Category 1 hurricane yesterday and pushed inland. At least seven are confirmed dead. Remnants of Beryl now moving up into the Midwest and posing a threat with flooding. This is ABC News. Alexei Navalny died in a penal colony. Russia has issued an arrest warrant for his widow, Yulia Navalnaya, on charges of participation in what they call an extremist community.
She's now been put on Russia's international wanted list. She would face an initial detention period of 2 months after extradition to Russia or from the moment she might be detained within the country. Tom Rivers, ABC News, at the Foreign Desk.
In New York City, Harvey Weinstein back in court today as prosecutors pushed to retry his sexual assault case. Earlier this year, an appeals court vacated his 2020 rape conviction, saying jurors were allowed to see too much irrelevant evidence. Also in New York, after nearly 2 months of testimony, closing arguments continue in the corruption trial of New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez. He's accused of accepting bribes from businessmen in exchange for political favors. Menendez opted out of testifying in his own defense. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. A home in Walworth County was destroyed after an explosion there. Happened Tuesday afternoon in the town of Lafayette near Elkhorn. When crews arrived to respond to the blast, they found a small fire in the basement. Elkhorn Fire Chief Trent Eichmann tells Fox 6 Milwaukee they also heard a man down there.
They did hear a voice, and they established contact with the patient. Probably took approximately 35 to 40 minutes to tunnel and extricate him out of the basement.
The man was taken by Flight for Life to a hospital for treatment. There's no word on his condition. Investigators say they don't know the cause of the explosion, though they think propane had something to do with it. The state fire marshal's office is assisting with the investigation. The deaths of a woman and her son in Adams County are being investigated as a homicide. The Adams County Sheriff's Office confirmed that Tuesday after the bodies of 62-year-old Sharon Miller and her son, 38-year-old Jamie Lumby, were found buried on property in the town of Strong's Prairie. Miller's body was discovered last week Thursday, while Lumby's body was unearthed Sunday. Autopsies on the two bodies indicate both were killed. No suspects have been identified, as evidence was submitted to the Wisconsin State Crime Lab. Wisconsin gets a shot in the arm for its biohealth efforts. Following a national competition created by the U.S. Department of Commerce, the state was named one of 12 regional tech hub finalists, earning the state $49 million in federal funding to encourage biohealth manufacturing, research efforts, and job growth. Wisconsin hopes to be a global leader in personalized medicine by creating some 30,000 jobs, which will create $9 billion in economic growth in the state over the next decade. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
The people at your Touchstone Energy Cooperative wear many hats. Your customer service rep might also coach at the local middle school. Or some of our line workers are also volunteer firefighters. It's true. We take pride in serving our members. That's why you'll find us helping out in our community. Because we not only work here, we live here.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny and warm today with high temperatures climbing to the low 80s. By tonight, clouds build in as Tropical Depression Beryl swipes south of us. A few stray showers or storms are possible later on this evening and throughout the overnight. None are expected to be severe. Are you behind on tax payments? Call Tax Solutions now for help. 1-800-281-8193. Right now, 81 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Leaking from a fire hose the past few days. We'll bring some clarity and dig into the what's next for the presidential election. And we are putting crude oil, the ethanol market, and used cooking oil back in the AgriTalk Spotlight.
Live from the Spotlight's welcoming glow via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Randy Russell from the Russell Group. Then it's Jordan Fife from BioUrja Trading. Directly following the news, Karen Bonert from Farm Journal's Milk. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lowry.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much, and welcome to AgriTalk. Taking a quick look at the radar.
Yeah.
Dude, Missouri, southern two-thirds of Illinois.
What?
Most of Indiana is getting rain right now from Hurricane Beryl. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to open my weather map here, too, then.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. You talk about hitting the areas that need it the most. It's kind of a bullseye right now for the rainfall. And the other thing that the hurricane is doing is we talked with Brett Waltz from BAMWX about it yesterday. It's pulling the potential for rains out of the upper Midwest, out of the outlook, at least for a short period of time. So we're beautiful right now up in northeast Iowa, dude. It's a little muggy, but I'm telling you, we are in really good shape up here. Really? 74 degrees?
Yeah.
See, 74 degrees.
We're at 75 degrees here in the city of Fountains. I would call it a very pleasantly muted sunshine. You know, sometimes that sun can be just a little too much. It's a nice little veil we got going today. Really nice day. But it does look like St. Louis is getting smashed with rain.
Right.
And it's just going to keep coming all day.
Yep, absolutely. And on the edges, there are risks of severe weather. Right now, there's a tornado warning just north of Tupelo, Mississippi. So heads up down in that area, but the rest of the country right now looks like it's pretty good to go. We are going to talk with Randy Russell today. We're going to get his take on what is happening in D.C. We are going to have a conversation with Jordan Fife from BioUrge. It's a good day, dude. A good day. Get us started.
Sure thing. We'll start with the weather. Beryl will bring heavy rain and flooding from the lower Arkansas River Valley northeast into the middle Mississippi Valley, lower Ohio Valley, and lower Great Lakes. Record high temperatures will continue into midweek across large portions of the West Coast, while record high minimum temperatures stretch from the Gulf Coast northeast along the East Coast. Chip, I know you like to look at the poor to very poor crop condition readings. How do you feel about the minimum temperatures, buddy?
Well, it's not cooling off at night is what that means. And this is something that once we get the crop, the corn crop pollinated in the Midwest, then we're going to have to watch for some similar trends, because those high nighttime temperatures can take a bite out of yield potential.
For sure. Well, Hurricane Beryl has weakened to a tropical depression, but millions of Texans affected by the deadly storm are expected to be without power for days or perhaps weeks, facing dangerous conditions without air conditioning as sweltering heat grips the state. Corn, soybean, and wheat futures traded in relatively tight ranges overnight, with wheat mildly favoring the upside this morning, while corn and soybeans were modestly weaker. That's as of 6:30 a.m. Central Time, when corn futures were trading fractionally lower, soybeans mostly a nickel lower, and wheat futures fractionally to a penny higher in most contracts. Presently, oh, look, we got a little bit of strength in corn. It seems like beans and wheat fractionally meh. Oh, there's some strength in wheat,
I guess. 4 to 5 cents higher in most corn contracts. Beans are still trading lower. The products are lower, and wheat is 5 to 8 cents higher in most of the contracts.
All right. Well, in May, consumer credit rose by $11.4 billion, a significant increase from April's 6.5. This according to Federal Reserve data. The report noted that credit card interest rates stood at 22.76% in May, just below a 1994 record. And the interest rate for a 60-month new vehicle loan from a bank was 8.2%, near a record high. Chip, 60 months at 8.2%. No, thank you, sir.
No, if we can avoid it, we're going to, aren't we?
That's right. That's right. Yep. Well, the White House has released the Spring Unified Agenda, detailing agency timelines for various regulations. The agenda is seen as ambitious and more of a signal to interest groups rather than a guarantee of completion. Meanwhile, the Republican National Committee's Platform Committee approved a 2024 platform outlining priorities for Donald Trump's potential second-term agenda, focusing on tax cuts, border control, and boosting domestic energy production. Chip?
Yeah, the agenda is going to create a lot of conversation over the next few months, just how serious and realistic some of the items, some of the 20 items are on that list.
Yep. Well, Canada has averted a potential labor disruption at its Pacific Coast ports after the Labor Relations Board deemed a strike notice from the union representing the ship and dock foreman illegal. India is set to surpass China as the leading driver of global food demand over the next decade, according to the United Nations. The forecast agricultural product consumption, including animal feed and fuel, will grow by an average of 1.1% annually in calorie terms. These forecasts are driven by population decline and stagnating incomes in China, contrasted with population growth and rising living standards in India. Jeez, I about can't read here, but this is a really interesting story.
Well, yeah, it's India replacing China in the big picture of growth, of demand growth in the future. Yeah.
Yep. Sounds good. All right. Do we have Karen? Should we get over there?
I think we do. Let's bring in Karen. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Karen Bonert, editor, Farm Journal's Milk. Good morning, Karen.
Hey, Chip. Good morning.
You've got Milk Business Conference coming up later this year, and you got to start work now to get ready for it, don't you?
Yeah, they have me working on it, Chip. So it's December 10th and 11th at Caesar Palace, Las Vegas. As you know, it's a fun time. And we have actually done a lot of work. We have an amazing lineup. We have a panel on labor, on retention. We're going to talk about immigration, beef on dairy, understanding the animal activist threats, dairy policy after the election. There's going to be so much to talk about. And Chip, it's just a really good conversation and time to gather. And so I would encourage producers as well as industry professionals to put this on the calendar and plan to attend.
Yeah. Yeah. And you will be taking a look at some of the performance of the industry with some NBC awards, correct?
Yeah, for the second time. So we're okay. Last year was such an amazing opportunity for us to award three different awards. We had an employee excellence, our young producer, and leader in technology. And so the winners will receive a trip for two to Las Vegas for the Milk Business Conference, which includes lodging, registration, and airfare. And I'm going to say this, Chip, real quick. I know producers are humble, and so they don't want to necessarily nominate themselves, although they can. But you don't have a problem recognizing other producers in the industry. So I'd encourage everyone to think of a top producer that they work with or that they know and nominate them. It's a fairly simple application. The deadline is August 1st, so it'll be here before we know it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it will. There's no question about that. Karen, it's a great conference. Thank you. And we will talk to you. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
You bet. Get more of the information on the Milk Business Conference. Go to www.dairyherd.com. All right. Coming up next. Like I said, it's been like drinking from a fire hose when it comes to the news flow out of D.C. We'll bring some clarity to it next with Randy Russell.
There's no shortage of, quote, dairy alternatives. But real dairy products still reign supreme with 21 times the sales of plant-based alternatives. More than 96% of U.S. households bought real dairy in 2023. And we moved a record 233.4 billion milk equivalent pounds. Your Dairy Checkoff helps to earn and maintain this sort of trust and drive demand for real dairy products. And that's making every drop count. Learn more at usdairy.com.
We all know the expression, make hay while the sun shines. Well, by the look of things, the sun is starting to shine on interest rates again, which means it's a great time to team up with a lender that knows the business of farming, FDN Finance. With flexible terms and rates and pre-qualification for farmland loans up to $3 million for qualified applicants, you can trust FBN Finance to shed light on your ideas to expand your farming operation. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
The startup of another day. Caring for the land to make sure it's passed down for generations. Regenerative ag practices help build healthy soil, reduce erosion, and hold moisture. Now, ADM will reward you for implementing cover crops and other conservation practices with incentives that could pay over $35 an acre. ADM appreciates all you do to protect your land and legacy, and we believe you should be rewarded for it. Visit ADMRegenerations.com to learn more.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us on this Tuesday morning. Randy Russell is the head of the Russell Group DC. He joins us right now. Randy, it's great to have you back. How are you?
I'm great, Chip. Thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure to spend some time with you.
Excellent. Excellent. Randy, we got to start with the obvious, the status of the U.S. presidential election and the Biden campaign. And what is the status from your perspective?
Chip, I just got back from the Capitol. I was up in a meeting this morning. By the way, whoever thought having the NATO summit here in Washington was a good idea, didn't think much about traffic because it's a disaster, but that's a separate issue. The House Democrats were caucusing this morning to talk about that very topic. We've already seen some members of the Democratic Party come out and say that Joe Biden should step aside. I'll tell you this. Look, I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden. I'm going to vote for Trump, but I'll make it very clear. Joe Biden won 87% of the primary vote throughout all the primaries that he had. He beat the other candidates. He got more than twice the number of delegates he needs to get the nomination. And I think at this point, I think he will be the nominee. And I think it'll be Trump versus Biden, despite all these calls from some of the Democrats. And I think most of these calls that are coming from Democrats, one of the questions I would ask when they voted in the primary, mm-hmm. who did they vote for?
Who did they vote for?
And I think a lot of them voted for Biden. And given his cognitive challenges right now, Chip, that didn't happen overnight. You know, I have a father who died at age 72 from a form of dementia, and, you know, he started showing signs of it when he was in his 50s.
Yeah.
And so for people to say all of a sudden there's just been some rapid change in his
right.
cognitive situation, that just doesn't pass the laugh test.
Yeah. Those that are claiming that this came on suddenly are asking the rest of us to not believe what we saw happening for the last 3 years, Randy. And it's insulting.
Without question.
Yeah.
It is, and I blame the press. The
yeah.
press has not been doing their job, Chip. They've given them a free pass. And it goes all the way back to when we were in the middle of COVID through in the last election campaign, where there wasn't much direct voter contact in a lot of these situations, and it's continued ever since. And it's been a very structured environment. He's held fewer press availabilities and press conferences than anybody since Reagan. And you'll recall in the second term that Reagan had, there was a lot of question about his slipping mental acuity as he got older. So there is some of that going on as well. But I will tell you this, it just, to me, I think Biden, and like I said, I'm not a supporter of him, but I think that he will be the nominee, and I think he deserves to be the nominee, given he went through the Democratic primary process and got about 90% of the votes.
Yeah, yeah, okay. You mentioned it. The NATO conference is happening in D.C. right now, and here we are. Every place you turn and look, you're hearing the question, who is really calling the shots? There's questions about if, you know, you hear questions of, is President Biden up for the job? It is not a good look at a bad time for the U.S. with NATO countries in town.
Chip, this press conference that will be held at the end of the NATO summit, it starts today and it ends Thursday. I think it's going to be very telling to watch President Biden up there with other world leaders and how he's going to handle himself and how he's going to handle the questions about things like the war in the Ukraine, the situation
yeah.
with China and elsewhere. And he is on not just the stage of people in the United States watching him, but he's on the world stage.
Right.
And it's going to be fascinating, I think, for all of us to see how he handles it. And handles questions from the press, which has been a bit of a challenge for him.
Man. And it makes me wonder, Randy, what risks that we need to be aware of from this situation. I mean, the list is long, but what's a couple at the top of the list for you?
Well, Chip, first of all, I would go back and say, this is why you have a primary process. It started back in January. And if people wanted to challenge Joe Biden, they should have. And it's not like I said at the beginning of this interview that there's been some rapid decline in his mental acuity situation. This is a progression that anybody's witnessed over time. And the situation that he faced in January is a hell of a lot different than what he's facing today.
Right.
And yet the party rallied around him and he's now the nominee. And now you have some of the leaders calling for him to step down. And I just think that people have to look in the mirror and say, why did I vote for him in the primary process?
Right. Okay. All right. Let's move on. Senator Moran was on the show on Friday morning. He said that he thinks the farm bill is going to get done in a lame duck session. Do you think that's possible?
It's possible. I know Jerry well, and he's done a great job up in the Senate. I probably would disagree with him on this. Right now, you know, the House has gotten their bill, Chip, out of committee, got four Democratic votes, which was more than I think a lot of people thought, which was a good start. But getting that bill onto the House floor in September before they leave for the election is going to be a challenge. We still have a lot of Democrats that aren't prepared to make any changes to nutrition. And we have Republicans that won't support the bill like the Freedom Caucus. So how he gets 218 votes, he being G.T. Thompson, that's a challenge. Meanwhile, in the Senate, I think Chairwoman Stabenow and Ranking Member John Bozeman remain far, far apart. And I think we have to get a bill, Chip, out of the Senate Ag Committee and reported from committee to have a chance to deal with it in a lame duck session. The other point I would make, we don't know the outcome of this election. And if one party controls the White House, the House, and the Senate, I don't think the lame duck session is going to last very long. They're just right. going to punt everything to next year. So I just think there's a big uphill climb with the calendar working against them and the election right around the corner that makes getting a farm bill done this year difficult, very difficult.
Yep. So is the anticipation around the election, is that the real holdup on the bill? Why hasn't it gotten done?
There's three issues. First, nutrition. There's a lot of folks on the Democratic side that do not want any money taken from the nutrition program at all, and that's 82% of the cost of the farm bill, projected cost. Number two, you have the Inflation Reduction Act conservation money, that $20 billion that was put in to ramp up spending on conservation programs, but with the proviso that you had to implement climate smart ag practices on your farm to be eligible. And then third is to propose limitations on the Commodity Credit Corporation to try to rein in the use that it's been done, not just by Tom Vilsack, but by previous secretaries. You know, the CCC, Chip, has been, I don't know if I'd use the term abused, that may be too strong, but certainly stretched its statutory limitations by every secretary since I've been in town, maybe to a greater degree in the last couple of administrations. So putting right. those limitations on are something that are up for debate. And right now there isn't a hell of a lot of give between the two parties on those three issues.
Right. It is really something. Randy, take a minute and tell me how big the Supreme Court decision on Chevron deference is to how Congress is going to do work going forward.
It's huge. It isn't just how Congress is going to do work, Chip, but it's how the agencies are going to respond going forward. With Chevron, prior to the Supreme Court decision, agencies felt pretty confident that if they stretched their statutory authority, they would be given deference in agency-related decisions. That isn't the case anymore. And I think that it's going to take time, but I think the biggest impact on this is that agencies now know that they're going to face legal challenges that are likely to be upheld if they actually take actions that aren't expressly given to them in statute. And I think that's going to take time. But in agencies like EPA and FDA and a lot of these other agencies, I think it's going to have a huge impact.
I do, too. This is something that you and I are going to be talking about in 10 years, Randy.
I look forward to it, Chip.
I do, too. Randy, thank you so much. I appreciate you, and thank you for making time.
My pleasure, Chip, always.
All right, Randy Russell, the Russell Group DC. We're talking energy markets next with Jordan Fife, BioUrja, here on AgriTalk.
Bugs can wreak havoc on post-harvest stored grain and eat away at your bottom line. Protecting grain is key to protecting your profits. Thankfully, Gravista D insecticide, a combination adulticide, synergist, and insect growth regulator, is designed as the ideal on-farm solution to help control these bugs and help you reduce shrink and insect damage kernels by up to 18%. Protect your grain with Gravista D insecticide from Central Life Sciences. Visit bugfreegrains.com to learn more.
To get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and AgDay's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Milk markets are mostly lower with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk down 23 to 2020, September down 21 to 2052, October down 8 to 2042, and November up 8 to 2010. Meanwhile, in the livestock sector at the Mercantile Exchange, live and feeder cattle markets moving mostly lower now after the midday box beef prices came out, and they came out lower, and that now has sharply lower live and feeder cattle markets. Traders now very concerned about potential lower cash trade. Hog markets also moving mostly lower as well, as again, those after the early morning pork cutout values came out, middays and afternoons came out lower, and again, we have all of the traders heading for the exit. August live cattle down $1.75 to $182.60. August feeder cattle down $3.12 to $256.05. July hogs down 32 cents to $89.35. At the Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets are moving mostly higher. Soybeans also moving mostly higher on some technical buying after the big losses yesterday. But soybeans have double-digit losses. Beneficial rains in the eastern corn and soybean belt from Hurricane Beryl and increasing crop condition ratings are pressuring the bean markets. New crop corn up 1.5 to 409.25. New crop beans down 16 to 1083.5. From the Northern Wisconsin State Fair, I'm Brian Winnekins.
Having someone you can trust with your everything is everything. At Chippewa Valley Energy, keeping you warm, keeping you cool, keeping you safe is what they do. Since 1922, when the Eau Claire Cooperative Oil Company was founded, it was to service farmers, homeowners, and businesses with necessary energy solutions. Since then, they've grown, but still offer the same great local service that they did over 100 years ago. Become and stay one of their partners with necessary energy and reliable service for your generations, your farm, your business, your family. Chippewa Valley Energy, no more. Go to ChippewaValleyEnergy.com.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk. He wakes up in the morning.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I am your host, Chip Flory. Thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, Hurricane Beryl just rolled onto the Gulf Shores, direct hit on Texas and the Houston area. And joining us right now from that area, Jordan Fife, president of trading at BioUrge. Jordan, welcome to AgriTalk. How are you, man?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Chip.
Good, good, good. What's the situation on the ground there after the hurricane?
Yeah, so we had a direct hit, especially on the west side of Houston, Texas, which is actually where I live. I actually got to sit in the eye of it and take my dog for a walk during the eye of Hurricane Beryl, which was pretty cool. But we lost a lot of power. There's a pretty significant amount of wind damage. My office is in what's called the Energy Corridor, which is a little bit west of town. I'm a little bit further west. About 15 miles west of downtown is where Citgo, P66, Chevron, all those guys sit. And they're all without power right now. And a lot of people, unfortunately, are without internet. It doesn't look like we had a lot of flooding damage. Houston flooded in the way it's really meant to, supposed to flood. We have a bayou system. So the waters came up and then they've already started to recede. It was a sketchy morning. And then by the afternoon, we had clear skies.
Okay, good, good. I mean, you don't wish anybody to have to go through that, but it sounds like Houston weathered it just about as well as they could. What about out in the Gulf? Is there any disruption to the production out there at all?
Yes. The production in the Gulf, whenever these things occur, they start shutting down rigs for safety. But they can get them back up pretty fast. And also, in anticipation of landfall, the refineries will shut down. And not only the refineries, but the pipelines. So the Explorer pipeline and the Colonial pipeline, two of the largest petroleum pipelines and distillate pipelines and jet in the country, they shut down their pumps and everything like that as a safety precaution. Once again, they have gone back up pretty quick. I follow the Gulf Coast gasoline basis, and it tried to make a move up. And then we saw selling later in the afternoon. What that tells me is that the refiners know that they're going to be able to get it back up pretty fast. The damage was not significant. So I don't think it's going to have an impact on crude in the Gulf. I don't think it's going to have a massive impact on gasoline either. Sometimes when you see these things, especially like the Colonial, if it takes a big hit and they can't get the pumps back up in time, you'll see gasoline prices skyrocket. But we're not seeing that right now.
Okay, good, good. You know, it seems like most of the run-up came in advance of the hurricane last week on that move up to the highs. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a okay. You know, buy the rumor, sell the truth kind of market right now.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, what in the heck is the deal with last week's crude oil inventory report? The EIA, Energy Information Administration, reported stocks down 12.2 million barrels. Trade was looking for something like a 700,000 barrel decline. What's the deal?
Yeah, so the United States, you know, just to kind of preface this, the United States is obviously now the largest producer of crude oil in the world. A lot of people, for whatever reason, just don't know that. But we're producing about 13.1 million barrels of oil. So we are the largest producer. So when that happened and the shale boom occurred, we became a natural exporter of crude. That had not happened for some time. There actually used to be a law that you could not export crude except for to Canada and Mexico. But they changed that. With LNG, the boom in that, and with the boom in shale production of crude oil, we became a natural exporter of crude. So what we've been seeing over the past couple of years is an increase in crude exports. The United States has amazing facilities for exporting. If you've ever had to import or export anything out of South America, it's very challenging. If you've ever had to import or export anything into Asia, again, very challenging. The United States ports, especially the Port of Houston and all along the Gulf Coast and everything like that, are second to none. So when that happened, we were already strategically placed to start exporting more and more crude oil. Yeah. And there is a spread between Brent and WTI. And when that spread widens enough, the United States starts competing with Europe in terms of where it can import to. It also then can send stuff to Asia. We compete in South America. We compete against West Africa. But we saw a large draw last week, I believe, because we were catching up on crude exports that had basically lagged. It's the same in grain or anything like that. It's a paperwork game, right? You have to file paperwork for all this stuff, and it could be sitting in tank ready for export. So you're building. Then all of a sudden, all of it clears, and whoosh, it just goes out like a giant a vacuum.
Wow. But have you seen a report like this based on that in the past? I mean, this seems like a big miss by the market.
Oh, it was a big miss. I think people were, again, it's The EIA, and this happens in ethanol, if you ever watch it, when you look at stocks, it's very hard to gauge stocks and when things are reported and why they're reported, again, because of the paperwork. It's definitely an anomaly. It doesn't happen every report that we miss this big. But we, in the trade, had been expecting a catch-up. I think they thought that we'd be a little bit more rateable in our catch-up. Maybe that there'd be like $2 million here, $3 million there. They just pushed it all through at once. And I believe it was the 11th largest, or is 11th or 12th largest draw in the history of the EIA. And then to your point, it's not only was it the 11th or 12th, which is a massive draw. When you miss by that wide of a mark, you know, something happens. I always like to think, you know, because I'm a trader, it's like, man, they got it wrong. But in reality, maybe we got it wrong. maybe we got our math wrong. It's possible. It's possible, but I wouldn't point to it.
All right. So what is your outlook for the crude oil market? We've backed off the highs that were posted last week, but we're still at a lofty level. What's the outlook?
So if you look at demand, and for petrochemicals specifically, for diesel and for gasoline, gasoline, especially in the United States, the demand is decreasing. It's a fact. EVs are making a bigger dent, especially on the West Coast, et cetera, which obviously California is the largest driving state in the United States. Their EV penetration is increasing, which means the demand is decreasing. So you should be like, well, you know, we should see a decrease in price. However, there is a lot of other people throughout the globe that have not made that transition and are just frankly not ready to make that transition. So as we discussed earlier, the United States is set up not only to export crude, we can export products, we can export jet, we can export diesel, we can export whatever we want. I don't think the demand globally has quite hit a peak yet. I believe we're in the next 5 to 10 years, we will. But that being said, I think if you look at the demand domestically, it'd be a bit confusing. You're like, it's going down, but the prices are going up or maintaining. And I think that's the reason why. Long-term fundamentals, I believe the prices should go down and crude should go down. When I say long-term, that's like a year to two. I don't have a reason right now to be ultra bearish. Just don't have one. So I think we're supported. If it gets below, you know, say $75 to $70 on WTI, I think you'll see some well closures and stuff like that, and it will continue to be supported. I don't think we're headed to $50 crude anytime soon.
Okay. All right. Very cool. What's happening in the biofuels markets? Start with ethanol and the margins there. Is there incentive to produce?
The ethanol margins, if you look at them on a seasonally adjusted level, we are at the second highest level for board crush. And I want to be very clear about that. This is a board crush. This does not include your local corn basis. This does not include your value of DDGs or anything like that. So if you just take the board, the corn market, divide by 2.8 or whatever number you like for yield, this is the second highest number for this time of year in the last 5 years. It's very good. So is there an incentive to produce more? Absolutely. But it's been that way, Chip, for 2 months, and we just haven't seen the giant jumps. And the reason why, if you look at these plants, they're like 20 years old now. The new ones are almost 20 years old. When you get stuff that's that old with that much engineering in it, and they do seasonal maintenance and everything like that. But even then, the heat, the humidity, stuff like that starts to make things go wrong. And we just have not seen the sustained high numbers of production. We do have pretty high stocks, but the physical is telling us something completely different. The physical rail for ethanol and truck, for that matter, the basis is high. It remains high. The major pricing hub of ethanol is Chicago. It's Argo. It's a terminal just outside of Chicago. They are drawing. And the reason why is what I just said earlier, which is the physical inventory, or excuse me, the physical rail, which is usually Rule 11. It's trading at a premium. When that happens, people pull barrels out of Chicago down the Mississippi, well, down the Illinois to the Mississippi on barge, and they can also pull unit trains over to New York. That's occurring right now. So the physical market is buoying the paper market, which is buoying the margin. Eventually, water finds its level. Either there'll be a decrease in demand, too much inventory. But honestly, Chip, this has run longer than I anticipated. I thought we would be hitting higher production numbers by now. We just can't with the older plants and the weather we're experiencing.
Okay. All right. We've got about 90 seconds left, and it may not be enough time to cover all of it, but I want to at least get your take on it. What is the deal with used cooking oil and the imports of UCO?
Yeah, so this is something I've talked a lot about in a lot of different places, a lot on my Twitter as well. The market is starting to realize Europe has already kind of accused China of it. They're not sending us used cooking oil. A lot of people believe that it is palm oil that has been reclassified. So there's a lot of investigation into that. The side effects of this, obviously, are consequential to the U.S. farmer. This is competing with bean oil, corn oil, and when you have a cheaper feedstock and buyers are able to access it, they will do so. So it's pushing down the bean oil. It's pushing down the corn oil. But recently, we've seen a little bit of a pop in both of those, bean oil and corn oil. So I believe what we're seeing is some more questions from the refiners, from the U.S., from Europe, et cetera, about the origins of this cooking oil. If it were to decrease, obviously, that would help the U.S. farmer quite a bit.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's got the attention of lawmakers here in the U.S. It seems like they want to do something about it.
That's absolutely right. It's tough now. I mean, and again, yeah. I've been on here a bunch, and I don't like to get political, but Joe Biden has his own issues right now to deal with. I doubt used cooking oil is at the top of that list. Donald Trump's coming back. Maybe soybean and corn oil is on the top of this. I doubt it. Right. So my point of all that is I just kind of feel like we're in like a murky point, politically speaking, okay. And nobody's really going to jump up and okay. Say, hey, this is the platform that I really want to push.
Gotcha. Jordan, thank you so much, buddy. Appreciate your time. Be safe down there.
Thanks, Chip. I appreciate it. You guys have a great day.
You bet. Jordan Fife, president of trading at BioUrja. Davis and I will be right back.
Roots. We plant them. We feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. In this season of independence, we salute all those families preparing for the local county fair, to the kids sweating in the barn, and all those parents standing ringside who really did all the work. Let us help get those animals' diets just right and ready for show day. So grab that blue ribbon and plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Farming is one of the most demanding professions in the world, and not just physically. Financial challenges, weather, markets, isolation, you take on a lot. But what about taking care of you? The Wisconsin Farm Center at DATCP or DATCAP is here to help. They have resources to help you with whatever the next step may be. It's free and confidential. Self-care isn't selfish. It's time to take care of you with the support of the Wisconsin Farm Center.
O'Reilly. You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it! I got the job! I can't believe it!
And like this.
Mom! I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project!
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations!
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Joining us is Larry Lemke. He is from Los Rios Farm in Bethard, Colorado. Larry, talk to me about some of the challenges that you face and other farmers face as well, and how you are managing those challenges.
Well, a little over 20 years ago, we had a pretty severe drought that kind of pushed me away from farming. And then in 2013, we had a pretty severe flood, which brought me back to the farm. So with all that back and forth kind of stuff and me being engaged in the farm again, it's like, well, how do we fix this? What are we going to do? You know, we've had some good technology and some really poor technology lead us to where we are with a lot of soil and water degradation. And now we're trying to turn that back to see if we can straighten things up.
Okay. What's got you most excited about what you're doing on your farm?
Basically, what we're trying to do is emulate nature instead of trying to force massive yields and maximize everything and keep the banker, the fertilizer company, the seed company, and the chemical company in business. We're trying to keep Mother Nature in business, trying to add the organic matter back in. The other thing is, you know, I see a lot of my neighbors. You drive across western Nebraska, eastern Colorado, and you see all those beautiful wheat fields all in those strips, not a weed out there. And that's actually not the way it works, you know. We've had some technology that has not been the best things for us, like the strip farming. We found that that's been really hard on the soil. And so if we get our soil biome straightened back up, get that organic matter in place so we can get the moisture that we do get into the ground instead of running off so that we can prolong things, I think we're going to be headed back in the right direction.
You can get more of Larry's story at investinourland.org. Thanks, Larry. That is Larry Lemke, Los Rios Farm in Bethard, Colorado.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everyone.
Toby.
We got both Chip and Big Apple Joe all kinds of fired up right now. You just leave it in a bucket. It'll be fine. You don't need it. Yeah. Just a bucket.
Okay, good. Good,
no, do not you. Do that. Do not store. No, we'll just leave that alone. Some great conversations. Thanks for being with us on AgriTalk, everybody. Davis Michelson, there's Chip. Big Apple Joe is lurking somewhere, watching, judging. He knows.
All the time.
Andy Russell. Mm-hmm. And I kind of feel like the two conversations sort of went together just a little bit, but there's something that you and I have been critical of the administration for, and that's the idea of just sort of saying ideas that sound good, mm-hmm. And make interest groups feel validated. The White House released this spring Unified Agenda, detailing various agency timelines, regulations, etc. The commentator says the agenda is seen as ambitious, more of a signal to interest groups rather than a guarantee of completion. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the RNC's platform committee put out a platform. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we need some bullet points from this unified agenda thing from the Dems, but we've got some serious stuff here that seem like these are issues that are on voters' minds, and I feel like Randy Russell was sort of picking up on that.
Yeah.
Some of those priorities for a potential second term would be tax cuts, border control, and boosting domestic energy production.
Right, right. And, you know, one of the things that Jordan talked about with our production at 13.1 million barrels per day, we are the biggest oil-producing country in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Does not mean that we are the most efficient at turning that oil into fuel.
Sure.
We're pretty doggone good at it, but there are ways in which we can increase our energy output and maintain what we are doing on the crude oil production side to be more efficient with our fuel production.
Mm-hmm.
And I
mm-hmm.
think that's what I would anticipate going forward. But
yeah.
But if Trump does win a second term, I think, Davis, based on what we saw in the first term, that there would be a refocus on fossil fuels and mm-hmm. and how to generate, produce enough of the fuels to keep the economy running mm-hmm. forward. Yeah.
I've also heard talk, and this is just speculative, wild speculation about, you know, the former president has been president and sort of knows the deal. I've heard it opined that should he become elected, that he may be more active in picking more of his own cabinet members. And I'm not sure if that's the case, I'm not sure what that does for us. He's going to pick people who will get stuff done, or if he will just sort of pick people to be near him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Boy, that is a question that is, it will have a major impact. But here's the deal. Everybody's thinking about, boy, who's he going to pick for VP? Some of the cabinet picks that he would make might be more important than
yes.
who is he going to pick for VP. Now, the VP pick has an influence on the election, okay? There have been some VP selections in the past where you just kind of think to yourself, well, they don't want to win. or boy, they're really going for it. Look at that.
Yeah.
So we have to watch that VP selection because of that. How aggressive are they going to be in the effort to win the election? And I think that Trump will be very aggressive. Mm-hmm. But boy, when it comes to how's he going to get business done, that chief of staff is critically important. And you know, we hear the list of VP selections, and Doug Burgum out of North Dakota is on that list. I think he's the short lister for Secretary of State. I see his role.
I can get behind that. Sure.
Sure.
Okay. Before we run out of time here, I also want to bring up this because we didn't get to it in the news, and this goes into what Jordan Fife was talking about. China's State Council has initiated an investigation into reports, Chip, that fuel tanker trucks were used to transport cooking oil without proper cleaning. This is following an investigation by Beijing News. The investigation revealed that some tanker trucks were transporting edible oils immediately after carrying chemicals such as coal-based oils without adequate cleaning, posing significant health risks. Does that make it used cooking oil if you put the cooking oil in immediately after you've got, I don't know, some naphtha or something in there? This cooking oil thing, it's a mess. Go on.
It's like we talked about with Dan Bossi yesterday. Evidently, because of some of the incentives that are available on imports of quote-unquote used cooking oil is worth more than unused cooking oil, especially when we're talking about imports of palm oil. So China sees it, and it's a big arbitration play. They're importing palm oil, allowing it to be contaminated immediately because it's part of the thing of keeping the cost down, and then reshipping it out to the U.S. as used cooking oil to be used in the production of renewable diesel and sustainable aviation fuel. This is not what was intended by the incentives being applied to used cooking oil in the United States. This is not what was intended at all, and it needs to be fixed. And the problem is, we shouldn't have to leave it to the EPA to fix it. Write it into the laws, the rules, and the regulations. In other words, do not rely on Chevron deference to get to get it right.
Yep.
Don't rely on it. Thanks for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. Phil Conrad, Trade Us.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it. with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters, aggressively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call